Hello and welcome to today's episode of Pub Chat. I'm your host, Colin Enquist. I'm here with my co-host, Adrian Trimble.
Good evening.
And we are rolling guest list tonight.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has.
It's been a while.
Just the two of us.
Ew, he's singing already. We didn't even have that many beers beforehand. I'm surprised. we're going to do a little different format for this episode. We've kind of had a stockpile of beers that we've been saving for Pub Chat and... Yep. Kind of us canceling on guests, guests canceling on us just forgetting about the beers in the cellar and stuff like that. We have some beers that don't really age that well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do this episode, which we're going to title The Purge.
Yeah.
And we're going to purge all our beer by drinking it.
Yeah.
And we figured since I saw a trailer the other day for The Purge 2, that we would watch The Purge and talk about The Purge while we purge our beer.
Yes.
So the first beer that we're drinking tonight is Black Friar from Inveralman Brewery, and I'm not actually going to go into specifics because we've drank one of their beers on the podcast before, and I don't remember what episode or who it was with.
It was a while ago, I think.
It was the Ossian or whatever, yeah. Ossian.
It was one of the first, like, one of the early episodes.
Yeah, it's been a while. So that's the beer we're drinking is a Scottish ale, the brewery's in the United Kingdom, Scotland, I'm assuming. Based on the Scottish ale.
I would, with the name like Inveralman.
So it's brewed year-round. It's 7%. I bought this at the liquor store here on sale. Surprisingly, we don't get sales that often. But this was actually like a good like $2 off or so. And I think that's why we picked up three for Pub Chat. And they've just kind of sat there because we don't really want to drink it. We've both had this before, and I think it's not a bad beer.
No.
It's just not a great beer.
Yeah, I think that sums it up.
And I think that's kind of, we've been pushing it off and pushing it off. And so, yeah.
Cheers.
It's very cloudy.
It is quite cloudy. Is it bulk conditioned?
That's what I was just about to ask.
Oh, there's some left.
Oh, yeah, I didn't top it up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that is really bottle conditioned.
Yeah, there's a shit ton of stuff floating around in mine.
Yeah.
Like, mine's got quite so a lot too. Murky. Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
It smells alright. It's like a dark... It's like a light brown.
Yeah, it's a light brown.
Little hint of, like, orange to it when you hold it to the light.
Yeah, not much head. A little bit of lacing. It's quite... Yeah.
Smells quite fruity.
Smells quite fruity. There's a lot of, like, there's, like, raisins. And
it's all, like...
Some sort of figs or
dark,
something.
Yeah, dark fruits, like dates or figs, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, it's all right.
Maybe, like, some honey or caramel or something.
Yeah, there's something adding a sweetness to the smell, that's for sure.
Well, you get that yeast.
Yeah, a little bit. It's not bad. Better than I remember it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still not a great beer, but still good.
Yeah, you get... There's a little bit of a bitter kind of hopness to it. It's not a fresh hop, but you get the bitterness.
Yeah. It's still got the flavors that came across in the nose or in the taste, they're much more subtle. It's very, very light-bodied.
It's kind of a breadiness to it.
Yep. Kind of leaves a weird...
A weird dry aftertaste.
Yeah, not like...
You wouldn't expect it to have a dry aftertaste, but it kind of does.
No, yeah, it's not like a sour, like puckering dryness, but it's similar. It's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better than I remember, actually. I'll give them that. We probably could have been more careful to not, like, swill it up so much, but...
Yeah, whatever. We have a couple more bottles that we can drink this week, and...
Yeah.
Instead of drinking all three. So.
Yeah.
Because we want to be somewhat sober near the end.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, but
yeah,
we want to still be able to, you understand our words. Because we already don't understand our words.
So, The Purge, the movie.
Well, I mean, before we get into the specifics of the movie, I just kind of want to talk about, like, the high concept idea. Because it's used often in Hollywood and making movies and stuff like that. And essentially, it's just... Movies that can be summed up in, like, one sentence with a really straightforward... Sometimes even the movie title. And, I mean, normally they kind of the movies rely on the plot and like that's what gets you in the door, the idea behind the movie, and it normally has nothing to do with actors and stuff like that. That being said, there's tons of high concept movies that are like full big budget films. Like, I wouldn't say Snakes on a Plane would be a big budget film, but yeah. Samuel Jackson's attached to it. That's a big name.
Yeah. But was he a big name?
Oh yeah, he was big then.
He was big.
I would say he was arguably leaving his peak.
Okay.
I would think.
Okay.
Or at least he kind of like ebbed and flowed a little bit. But I know the listeners can't see my hand motions, but...
It's ebbing and flowing.
It's ebbing and flowing, yeah. I mean, there's some other movies. Face Off would be a good example of like a really high concept, big actors, big directors, big Hollywood budget.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think what else. Seven, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
There's probably a bunch. Like, Mars Attacks, a high concept, not very good, funny as hell.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so I personally love high concept films to a point. Normally, you always leave somewhat disappointed.
Yeah.
Because they always take liberties, and they're always full of cliches, and The Purge, essentially... I think it's kind of the same. I wasn't...
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I didn't mind it. I mean, it's... I've in, like, the last year, I've become more discerning with the movies that I watch. And I've started picking up on things more. And there was lots of things that I thought, oh, shit, like cliches and, you know, you can predict what's going to happen. And it's kind of... There's no real excitement to it.
Yeah, I guess we should probably explain what The Purge is.
Yeah, so The Purge is, basically it's the year, what, 2022?
Yeah, it's like 10 or 15 years in the future.
Yeah, and about, I don't know, a decade prior to that, they had instituted The Purge, and every year there's a 12-hour period overnight where all crime is legal.
Essentially,
yeah. And the idea is, it's to help people, like...
Deal with our urges.
Yeah. Get the anger out and kill some people.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of... I mean, there's a lot of... At the start, when they kind of do the like, exposition for the audience and explain exactly what The Purge is, it's kind of a combination of, like, intercuts between people listening to the radio and showing footage from previous Purges and then, like, the full-on, as the Purge is starting, like, the warning on the TV explaining exactly what the Purge is and what's... Because there are some rules, a little bit of types of weapons you can't use. And
Which, judging by the types of weapons they did use, they're obviously... It's like, you can't use a tank.
Yeah, or rocket launchers. Yeah. You can't drop a nuke. They don't condone that. But, I mean, it's... When I first saw the trailer, I thought, oh, that's a cool idea. And there's a lot of, like, the political undertones kind of on, I guess, how our society is now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's that kind of drew me in. I'm a fan of Ethan Hawke, so that kind of made me want to see
helped.
It. Yeah, and I was actually planning to see this in the theaters with some friends, and I just never got around to it. And
yeah. I mean,
we watched it tonight. It's the second time I've seen it. You seem to enjoy it?
I did, yeah. It was fun. I mean, it kind of exactly what you expect. It's a cool concept. I don't... It kind of disappoints a bit.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of cliches.
Yeah.
There's good moments. There's bad moments. There's things that are confusing. I think... I mean, it's shot fairly well.
Yeah,
I mean that they, considering it's in a completely self-contained environment, because the movie essentially takes place in a massive house.
Yeah,
so they obviously just went into a house and they can control every aspect of the lighting and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to
fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah. If you got professionals doing it, you should be okay.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was fun. I mean, it's one of those where it's like, do they really have to make a sequel? I guess, I mean, judging from the trailer, they're showing a totally different aspect of The Purge.
Oh, yeah, and I think that, like, it's one of those things, like, the concept works. I'm pretty sure the movie was successful financially.
Well, it must be. They're making a sequel.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, you can, because it's something where you can do sequels with completely different characters and stuff like that, kind of like Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, the Final Destination kind of movies.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things that a Saw would be another high concept. Yeah.
Final Destination.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which I don't mind the Final Destination movies as much as they're cheesy and cringeworthy.
I never could get into them.
I watched, the first time I watched one was on a bus on the school trip to Austria.
Okay.
And we watched a Final Destination movie. It was fantastic. I think, wasn't that one with a bus crash?
I think I only saw the first one. I don't really remember it.
I feel like there was a bus or like some kind of vehicle crash while we were in the bus.
Fair enough.
So that was great.
So I just kind of Googled kind of to see how successful it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie cost $3 million to make.
Well, no shit. It takes place in a fucking house.
It made $90 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
What a surprise that they made another one.
Yeah, that's kind of, all right, it makes sense.
I mean, actually, considering how, that's cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, like the first Bond movie, which was, I mean, super cheap compared to all the other Bond movies, was shot in, what, like 1960?
Yeah.
And that was $1 million budget.
Fair enough.
And that was 40 years ago. So the fact that they made that for $3 million is actually pretty impressive. And the fact that it was as well done as it was.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't.
Because the production value was good.
They didn't really have any big name actors other than Ethan Hawke. I didn't recognize anybody.
He's not huge.
No, and he actually doesn't do many, like, Hollywood esque movies.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't really call it that. I'm sure that was probably pitched more as a self contained kind of, like, indie film. And then somebody got wind of the production and it kind of blew up a little more. But I mean, it got mostly negative reviews by the critics and stuff like that, and they kind of questioned the plausibility of it and stuff like that. And if you're going to see that movie, you kind of have to, in my opinion, you have to put kind of a little bit of like that suspension to beliefs.
You've got to have a little bit of faith. Like, you don't go and watch any of the movies that we've talked about thinking, oh, that's a possibility.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they do take a lot of things where they don't really explain it. The homeless guy that the kid lets into their house, which is very, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie if we haven't already. So,
yeah.
the house is kind of like a fortress that they can kind of shut down.
It's a giant
man.
Basically the way it works out, and I mean, you probably predict this, is all the rich people don't generally get killed because they can afford to protect themselves during the purge.
Yep.
And they all lock down their houses and have these security systems and stuff. And then it ends up being it's all the homeless people that get killed.
Yeah.
Because they can't protect themselves.
So the son of... It's a family of four. And the son who's, I don't know, 12, 13,
if
we'll
that,
say.
Maybe a bit younger.
Yeah. He essentially sees a homeless guy getting chased down outside.
Yeah.
And he's yelling for help. So he decides to let him in the house.
Yeah. So he disarms the security system. So all the, like... steel shutters open and like
and somehow this is kind of a obviously it's some way that they can figure it out, but somehow the people that are chasing him who are like 20 minutes behind him at least and aren't anywhere on their like monitors outside find out where he goes. They kind of drop a line kind of in the like the maniac of the group that's trying to kill the homeless guy's speech that they talk to the neighbors.
Yeah, but the neighbors also have their doors closed.
Well, but at the same time, he does talk to Ethan Hawke's character, like, through the big metal
intercom
doors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's possible.
I guess they could have threatened the other people.
Yeah, and it was, there was a lot of little subtle things like that. That there's an explanation there in the script, but it's...
It's a bit of a stretch. Also a stretch is, why does the fucking 10-year-old know the code to disarm the security system on the scariest night of the year?
Yeah, that was probably the dumbest thing in the script, but, I mean...
You know, like...
You don't have a movie without it.
Yeah, well... That's true.
Yeah. And I think, because there's certain things, like the homeless guy in the end, they kind of...
He's the hero.
Yeah, he's a hero. Like, He runs and hides. The kid helps him hide from Ethan Hawke's character, who wants to ascend, not kill him, just put him outside so the people will leave them alone.
Yeah.
Because they just want to kill the homeless guy. And essentially it comes down to it where Ethan Hawke captures him. And there's this nice little subtleness that if you don't actually pay attention, you just think it's just a normal homeless person. Which it is. It's a homeless person. Yeah. But he's wearing dog tags.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So if you question later on his kind of like expert being able to like take apart the like group that tries to kill them at the end,
yeah,
of like five people and like kill two of them, and even like when he pulls his gun at the end, at the very end of the movie, it's very like military-esque. And if you don't see the dog tag, because it's only shown in that one scene,
mm-hmm.
that's the whole explanation right there. So they do a very good job of kind of covering those like suspensions of belief. Like it's like, yeah, you're kind of right. We are stretching here, but we did put this here. And if you're smart enough to know, that's one of the things that I really did enjoy about the movie is even though there was those moments where you're kind of like, oh, this really? Like,
yeah,
they did kind of cover their tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably the biggest question mark would be Ethan Hawke essentially beating the crap out of two people, killing them, and then killing a third with an axe.
Yeah, that was... That was a pretty impressive scene.
Yeah.
He took down like five people in, you know, a few minutes. But it was dumb because, you know, it's another stretch, right? There was four or five people, all of whom clearly do this every year and go out and like hunt in packs.
Yeah.
And he just took them all out, you know, no big deal. Just killed them all. He's outnumbered, outweaponed, still kills them all.
Yeah. Well, I think we're ready to move on to the next beer.
Mm-hmm.
So the next beer is from a different brewery. It's from Uncommon Brewers in Santa Cruz, California.
Yep.
I picked this up on a road trip out to Kenora to visit the Lake of the Woods Brewing Company in the summer.
No. I didn't go with you.
Where were you? Where was I? I don't remember. School was started? I don't remember. I went with Jacob and Taylor and Jacob's roommate. Then I'm drawing a blank. Sorry.
Sorry.
sorry, Jacob's roommate. It's not Kenton, it's the other one. So we are drinking Siamese Twin Ale. It is a Belgian double. It is brewed with Kaffir lime leaves, lemongrass, and coriander. And this uncommon beer was brewed to be aged. Store in a cool place and witness the change.
Oh, it was brewed to be aged?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that either.
Well, we should only open one.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah?
Up to you.
Alright, well, yeah, we'll open one, we'll age one, and we'll use it for the next Purge episode.
Well, yeah, exactly. We'll do that.
When the Purge 2 comes out.
When we watch the Purge, what was it?
Anarchy.
The Purge Anarchy, which deals with the Purge outside of, like...
So I've had this before, so you can take a little bit more if you want.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Well, because I brought back four cans.
Oh, okay.
So, for some reason, I thought this was a...
I did, too. I think it's the green labeling.
Yeah.
You kind of get...
You just assume it's hops.
You kind of get, like, a hoppy vibe, and you just sort of assume. Well, that's interesting. I had no idea.
So they only actually brew, or it looks, according to their website, that they only brew, like, three beers year-round, this being one of them.
Uh-huh.
The other one is Golden State Ale, and the other one is a Baltic Porter.
Okay.
This is the only beer of theirs I've ever had.
This is California, right?
Yeah, Santa Cruz.
Yeah. 8.5%.
It's 8.5%. It's available year-round for sure. It's on tap in bottles. And in cans.
I like their cans, actually.
I'm kind of surprised it went out to Ontario. It seems like a small brewery just kind of looking at it from the internet.
Yeah.
But...
Could be a special order gone wrong or...
It's possible. It showed up in Kenora, so...
Yeah. That in and of itself is a bit weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a darker brown than the previous beer we were drinking with...
Yeah. It's also quite hazy, though.
Yeah. With, I'd say, less thicker head.
Yeah. That's fair. Tons of fruit.
Yep. It's also very malty.
Yeah. Some like clovey kind of smells.
I don't know if that's the coriander or the lemongrass. It's good though. It tastes good too. And there's the lemon and the lime comes across in the taste.
It's like it's almost like a Belgian like double of Belgian like a Belgian triple, but with like fruity kind of a freshness to it.
Yeah, essentially like any Belgian beer that has kind of like the heavy dark fruit notes. Yeah. They've kind of scaled back the sweetness a little bit and kind of ramped up the fruitiness. Yeah. And instead of dark fruits, it's more like lemony and limey.
Yeah, with the kind of the coriander and the
you still get that nice spice to it.
Yeah, but it's nice actually. I really like this. But it just kind of feels fresher, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I agree.
The citrus kind of, I don't know, it's good. I like it.
It's also for a double, I think it's fairly light in the body.
I was surprised. Well, that's why I said we should only have one can, was because it was 8.5%. Yeah. I was like, we're going to get drunk.
Yeah, we're going to get drunk.
No, it's good. It's weird seeing a Belgian beer in a can, too.
That's true.
You
know what? Last time I had this, and this time I'm kind of having the same problem. I don't know if I like the nose or not.
Really?
It's got a weird maltiness to it that I can't put my finger on.
Like the sweetness?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know what you mean. Like
it's almost like a.
It almost tastes like. It almost smells like that kind of sweetness you get when you walk into some breweries.
Yes. No. That's exactly it. Kind of like in the brewing process when you go in to buy stuff.
Yeah, as if there's something left over that's not quite finished.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I really like the taste.
Mm-hmm.
The nose, just... I kind of like waft from... It's okay to...
Yeah, it's good, I know what you mean. There is something odd about it. Hmm. So, The Purge. Were we done talking about that?
No.
The chick was kind of cute.
Yeah, I agree.
She's 23.
Yeah, I love that you Googled it.
And she's from Australia.
Really?
Yeah. Not Wouldn't bad. Have guessed.
No, good American accent, yeah, that's for sure.
I was going to say, like, that was pretty good. Hasn't done much else. But still.
I actually think they did a really good job on the casting.
I do,
like,
too.
Right down to, like, the creepy guy that was... Kind of like the head of
who was he? I've recognized him.
I don't know. I kind of recognized him too, but I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah,
he was.
But he did good. I mean, he played it well.
Let's just click on his Wikipedia page and see. He is also Australian.
They filmed this in Australia?
I don't know. His
they were driving him.
He's best known as Thomas in the 2008 film The Black Balloon. I have absolutely no idea.
This is Edwin Hodge?
No, this is Reese Wakefield.
Oh, no, this is Edwin Hodge is the guy.
Yeah. The only other movie that I recognize is... I don't know, maybe that's not the movie I'm thinking it is. He's in the After the Dark, which is coming out soonish. I remember seeing a trailer for it. But other than that, yeah, there's nothing that... I recognize. But he was good.
Yeah, I think, actually, you know what? I mean, obviously, it didn't receive very good reviews critically, but considering that they only spent $3 million on it, I mean, that, in movie-making terms, is nothing.
No, that is true. Like, it was one of those things, kind of like Paranormal Activity, where it was, like, low risk for a studio to pick up. So I think it's probably, like, oh, Ethan Hawke's attached to this? Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. And it paid off. I mean, it made, like, 300% more than they put into it. It's crazy. But considering how little was spent on it, the fucking house would cost more than $3 million.
That's true, actually.
But it was, you know, it was really well cast, it was really well acted. Yeah, okay, the plot was kind of thin, but...
I mean, it was a straightforward survival story. It was like, here's this new world with all these rules and this special night.
Yeah.
And here is what happens to one family when
it goes wrong.
When it goes wrong.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I really like that Ethan Hawke's character dies. It adds a lot of legitimacy to it.
It does, that's true. Because, I mean, I even said halfway through the movie, I was like, oh, he's going to live. He'll be fine. Like, it's Hollywood. He'll be fine.
And I actually really like that they didn't make a big deal out of it. Like, in the movie. No. Like, he dies on screen, and there is, like, a family moment where the kid puts his heart monitor watch that was
a little bit lame.
Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't, like, linger on it. There wasn't, like... There actually wasn't much music kind of in the movie.
No.
They play up the horror, like, the duns as the person sticks their head in the frame, surprisingly, because Adrian jumped.
Adrian jumped.
It was fucking hilarious.
I was kind of relaxed. I wasn't really expecting it.
But, I mean, it was, like, they don't go over the top with it, which I think they could have and made it really bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, if they killed all, like, the entire family at the end, I would probably have been even more happy with the film.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. just because it would have been not expected. Like, yeah, it already wasn't expected that Ethan Hawke's character, you know, was gonna die. And when he died, and you're like, and then the neighbors essentially come in to kill the rest of them. The neighbors save them by killing the people that were going to kill them. And then the neighbors turn around and just only kill them because they want to kill the people that lived in the house.
Yeah.
So the family now is tied up and about to die. But we saw the homeless person struggle out of his like duct tape to a chair.
Yeah.
And you knew he was going to save them.
Yeah.
So I think that would have... Not maybe you wouldn't have to kill the entire family, just let them kill one of them, and it just kind of adds a little bit more legitimacy to, like, oh shit, like, really anything can happen.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
No, you're right, though. I mean, I did not expect any of them to die.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's me nitpicking. Not a perfect movie by far, but...
Hey, it was $3 million.
It was
a bargain.
Any movie that's made for cheap, Adrian will love.
Yeah. but you can guarantee they're going to spend a shitload more than $3 million on the second one.
The budget for the second one?
Yeah.
$3 million.
Are you shitting me?
That's what it says.
Fuck off.
This is Wikipedia, so who knows?
Yeah.
But...
That could be just be, like, they cut and pasted the article and they haven't changed the number yet.
It's very possible. It's very possible. But, I mean, based off the trailer, there was no names at all attached to it.
Oh, that's
true. It's the same...
They're not going to be spending a bunch on actors.
Huh. So, it's the same writer as the first one.
Uh-huh.
I missed this when the credits were rolling.
Yeah.
It's also the same director, and he also wrote it. That's cool. But it's produced by Michael Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. He's going small time. How did you miss that?
I don't know. So,
way to go with the research, Colin.
Yeah, that's surprising, actually. But I guess Michael Bay is somebody that you can sell a high concept movie to.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true. And he's got, what, an EP credit?
Yeah.
So he might not have actually done anything. He was just like, yeah, I'll be the EP, and then, like, it's just to get all the credits.
He probably, like, the script was handed to him, and he was like, this is a good idea, I don't want to do it. But yes. I see the money making of this, and he kind of probably pushed it to a studio to.
Yeah.
So the writer director of this movie is James DeMonaco. He's written The Purge, Anarchy, Staten Island, which I've never heard of, Skinwalkers, which I've also never heard of,
mm-hmm.
the remake to Assault on Precinct 13, which also starred Ethan Hawke, I believe. So I'm guessing that's probably how he, starred Ethan Hawke. And he did not direct that, but I'm guessing that's probably how Ethan Hawke got attached. They probably are somewhat friends, and he pitched it to him, and that's probably how it got me.
And that's it. And that's how come Ethan Hawke did it for basically no money.
So we're making a lot of assumptions on this podcast.
We're reaching a bit.
He also
not as much as The Purge did.
Yeah. He also wrote Jack, which I have never heard of.
Oh, is that the one with Robin Williams?
That's, yeah.
Holy
I have
shit.
Heard of that. That's a Francis Ford Coppola movie.
That is old.
Yeah.
I remember watching that movie.
That's a good movie. Like a kid. He also wrote The Negotiator with Samuel Jackson. And Kevin Spacey. I fucking love that movie.
I don't think I've seen it.
I actually saw that at a drive-in.
What?
When I was like, I don't know, when, however
back
old
in
I was.
The 1970s?
However old I was in 1998.
Older than I was.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean...
I love Jack. Jack's a great
that's
movie.
That's some decent writing credits.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah. Was he lead writer on Jack?
He has the... Because
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Has he done any movies between now and then? Like,
no, that was literally all the movies he's done that I listed.
What?
He did a television show, which... Oh, it looks like he has a lot of writer-producer on the television show Crash in 2009, and The Kill Point. I've never heard of
The Kill Point.
Crash is a BBC series, which had 12 episodes.
Which is like 6 more than most BBC series have.
The Kill Point had 8 episodes.
That was BBC too?
No, that was a Spike TV show.
I recognize the name.
I don't know if I've ever seen an episode, but it looks like he was the kind of the head writer to Crash, and it looks like he wrote a good chunk of the episodes and executive produced all of them. And actually pretty much the same with Kill Point. So that's probably, he has a big gap. The Negotiator in 1998 and then nothing until Assault on Precinct 13 in 2005.
So basically,
and then a ton since then.
He was waiting tables for 7 years.
Yeah, possibly. Or he was just riding the coattails of Jack and The Negotiator.
Was Jack a very commercially successful movie?
It had a budget of $45 million.
Did it?
And a box office of $58 million. Well, I mean, you've got Francis Ford Coppola and Robin Williams, Diane Lane, Jennifer Lopez, Bill Cosby.
When was Jack released?
1996.
God, I remember watching that.
Yeah, Robin Williams looks young in the poster.
I can't believe they spent $45 million on that movie.
Well, I mean, you gotta think, that's probably all.
Well, half of that's Robin Williams.
Yeah, well, and Coppola, I imagine, would be a big...
Yeah, I guess so.
Jennifer Lopez was probably not huge then, but she was getting there.
Yeah.
Cosby, I'm
sure...
She
was still Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, she was still Jenny from the... I didn't know if she was Jenny from the Block yet. That was like 2000.
Jenny from the Block was like early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because I remember the music video. She basically stood on a car in the middle of the street. Kind of danced around.
We're going to have to watch the video later.
Yeah. It's going to be a good evening, guys.
Ethan Hawke has done
I've seen him in a couple of things, but like nothing...
The Before Sunrise... Before Sunset and whatever the third one is called, movies are really good. If you like kind of love stories and stuff like that, they're pretty good. I'd say Training Day is probably his biggest commercially successful. Well, maybe Gattaca. I don't know. Gattaca's before your time because you were probably like 4.
Possibly.
But I would say Training Day is probably his biggest. I don't know, Lord of War, maybe? Although that was kind of a Nicolas Cage movie, so I'm sure didn't actually do well.
Oh, I love his hairstyle in his Wikipedia picture.
Oh, I know, that dyed blonde.
Oh, yeah. But it's like the tips.
Oh, yeah, frosted tips.
Frosted tips. That's a good look.
I think he's an underrated actor, but that's me.
You just have a little soft spot for him.
I do. Well, I mean, he makes good movies. I don't know.
Do you think he just doesn't pick his movies right sometimes?
I don't know. I've always kind of...
Oh, I saw him in Brooklyn's Finest.
I've kind of always got the impression he's kind of like Johnny Depp, where he does more like indie-ish stuff.
Uh-huh.
Although Johnny Depp in the past.
No, I was going to say, Johnny Depp's done some really
big
stuff.
But I would...
And let's be honest, some horrible movies too.
Oh, I agree.
Like the most recent fucking Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, they're all pretty bad in my opinion.
They're all pretty bad, but they got gradually worse.
Although, he fucking owns that character.
Like, oh, he does.
Ridiculous.
But the thing is, like, I mean, the first movie was great. I thought. It was good.
It was fun. Entertaining.
It was fun. The last one was atrocious.
I didn't see the last one.
It was, like, it... All it was, you know, an excuse for Disney to get another paycheck. Like, well,
aren't they making more, like, another one after that?
No fucking clue.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that's... I will actually probably see that one, just based on the fact that I think Johnny Depp is amazing in that role. Like, that's one of those things where the actor plays somebody and you're like, this is him. Like, this,
oh,
like,
yeah.
This is Idris Elba in The Wire type thing. Like, Idris Elba always be Stringer Bell. Maybe, I mean, I could argue maybe Luther too, but he'll always be Stringer Bell to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Maybe he will be for me once I watch The Wire.
Yeah, you should probably get on that. But, I mean, that's one of those things. And, I mean, kind of like, I don't know, Tom Hanks in Apollo 13. He owned that role.
Yeah. You think Johnny Depp will always be Captain Jack Sparrow?
I think so. I mean...
He will be for that generation.
Yeah. No, that's true. And, I mean, he's done a lot of...
I mean, I haven't seen him in a ton of stuff besides that, if I'm honest.
Okay, we're going to Google and see what movies he's been in. So before we go into Johnny Depp's filmography, we're going to crack the last beer of The Purge.
Yes.
It is from...
Crooked Line.
Unita Brewing?
Yes. Uinta?
Uinta. Unta? Unta?
Okay, but why does it say Crooked Line on the top of the bottle?
I have no idea.
It's weird. It says, it is definitely Uinta Brewing, but then it says Crooked Line, and then it says Cahoots.
So they're from Utah. This is an American double IPA.
Double rye IPA.
It's 9.4%. And it is a rotating availability, so I'm not entirely sure when it comes out.
This says bottled on the 28th of May of last year.
Okay. They make quite a few beers. I've actually had a couple of theirs.
I think I've had a few.
Labyrinth, which is their black ale, which was fucking phenomenal.
Did we
had that.
Does it say it rings a bell?
Oh, no. No, it was me, Nicole, and Kevin that had it. I brought it back from our Minneapolis trip, though. Where I bought it. And I've also had their Imperial Black IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not entirely sure where I had it, but I've had it. And
I can say that we've probably fucked this up because it says on the side of the bottle I'm supposed to keep this cold, and it's definitely not been cold for most of the time that I've had it.
That's why this is the Purge episode.
Yep. Nice big ball.
Yeah.
With a that's
good. That's a lot of head.
Holy shit.
We're drinking out of kind of like the snifter tulip style. I'm drinking a Solemn Oath glass.
Yeah.
And Adrian a Three Moths, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's pretty much...
Off head.
60-40. Beer head.
I think you got the raw end of the stick here.
No, you just poured shitty. That's all. So this beer... pretty much is the clearest of the three we've had.
Yep.
Still brown, but when you hold it to the light, there's an orangish red.
Yeah, and it's clear. It's not hazy.
Yeah. No, it's...
There's still a lot of head that mine has, blind, a, and I hold it a lot better. Yeah.
Mine has a 3.5 finger head. Adrian has a finger and a half head.
Yeah. Or, you know, a big chunky thumb.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to insult you too much.
You still get quite a lot of the hoppiness in the aroma.
As I stick my nose right in the
So Colin doesn't get any of the hoppiness in the aroma.
No, I get all hops.
Yeah. But you do, though, which is impressive, because I haven't kept this cold.
It's got, like, a very citrusy hoppy. Yeah. Oh, there's still a lot left in the bottle.
That's for you. That's impressive, actually. I wasn't expecting to get that, considering it's 6 months old, 8 months old.
It has two owls drinking beer on the bottle. I love it. They're in cahoots.
They're in cahoots.
They're in cahoots.
It smells good, though. I like it.
It smells great. It's got a nice little spiciness, like, with the citrus. I'm curious how it's going
to
taste.
A little bit of a sweet kind of maltiness to it, too.
All right, let's give this a taste. That is... a weird combination of spice and hops.
Yeah. The hops have obviously been fresher, but they're still actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's...
I was expecting it to be less fresh tasting, to be honest.
It's got like a slight piney... Well, okay, I stick my nose in the... In the head, Adrian spills all over himself.
Yeah, I dribble.
Yeah, no, it's got like this piney citrus... Some spice in? I don't know what spice it is.
Yeah, there is a woodiness to the flavor, though.
It's all, yeah, it's, I was going to say it's almost like cedar-like.
Yeah. There's a good sweetness to it.
The sweetness goes away really quickly.
Yeah, it does. It's good, though. I like it. It's quite... it's good.
I don't love it as much as the Labyrinth, but it's quite enjoyable.
It's lasted really well.
Yeah. No, it's... It's a good thing it's part of the Purge episode. We didn't wait longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of a biscuitiness to it. And a good, long, drawn-out finish. Like,
the... it's got, like, a lingering hops on, like, the tip of your tongue.
Yeah.
But the sweetness kind of, like, in the back.
Yeah. But you can still taste the, like, kind of the meat of it.
Yeah.
Long afterwards. It's good, though. I like it.
All right, should we go through Johnny Depp's filmography?
All of it?
Well, I mean...
He does look dashing. I don't think going through all of it is quite possible.
No. So he started in A Nightmare on Elm Street with his film debut.
I haven't seen it.
It doesn't surprise me, because you weren't born until, like, 6 years after it came out.
Yeah.
His first few movies, I don't really know. He was in Platoon. I think his first big movie was Edward Scissorhands.
Wasn't Nightmare on Elm Street pretty big?
Yeah, he had a very small role, though.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He wasn't a leading guy yet. Yeah. He wasn't even a leading guy at Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
And even after that, I don't think he really had anything big until Ed Wood. What else? Donnie Brasco? No, not ringing a bell?
No. Rings a bell, but I haven't seen
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Still haven't seen it.
Okay.
Is it filmed in Vegas?
A little bit. It's like he's playing Hunter S. Thompson.
So the movie I need to see.
Yeah. The Astronaut's Wife. Sleepy Hollow, where he plays Ichabod Crane, I'm sure would be a very common movie that most people see of him. I think the first movie that I really loved of his, other than Edward Scissorhands, would be Blow. And you've probably never seen that either.
Yeah, is that about cocaine?
Yeah.
Cocaine! all I can think of is Pam.
Yeah.
Damn that Archer, it's invading my life.
So, first Pirates of the Caribbean came out in 2003.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Good lord. Well, I suppose they've made like 4 or 5 since then, so.
Yeah. He was also in Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
No, Once Upon a Time in Mexico is like the third movie in the, what's that, Antonio Banderas Rodriguez trilogy.
Not a huge Antonio Banderas fan.
What's the, the El Mariachi trilogy with Salma Hayek. Oh, Desperado? No?
Yeah, no. Sorry. Okay. I'm not the movie buff that you
were. Well, I mean, again, you were probably like 5 when that
came out. I also have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah. We've had a pub chat about that.
Yeah. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas was a money loser.
That doesn't surprise me.
$18.5 million is what it cost, and they only made 10. Loser.
I like this beer.
Me too.
It's really growing on me, actually.
I'm kind of bummed that I saved it this long. But it tastes really... it's lasted really well.
Where did you pick this up? When you were down in Denver? Or?
Oh, I think I got this, like, when we were in Chicago.
Oh, okay. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I didn't get much when I was in Denver. So, I may have got it when I was in Denver. I mean, it's from Utah, so I mean, the right kind of area. But I think I got it in Chicago. So, I mean, it's lasted well.
Well, I mean, I think we've kind of talked. I mean, I don't think I can talk about The Purge anymore. We pretty much covered everything about it, I think. I'm sure we could go into more detail on the, like, undertones of exactly what's going on and there, what the themes they're trying to get across. And stuff.
Yeah, there is a part of me that wants that like that wants the Purge to become like Paranormal Activity, where they make a new one like
every
fucking year, and then we can do this every year where we purge our beer and talk about the latest Purge movie.
That's a good idea.
So we'll have to see. I mean, the last one was released June last year,
and this one will be June
this year. So maybe that's what they're lining up for.
Very possible,
especially if the budget for the second one is still $3 million.
So
I'm guessing they don't spend that much on the Paranormal Activity movies.
Oh God, no! I would say it would be more akin to Saw than Paranormal Activity, because I think the Saw movies after the first one actually had a somewhat decent budget. Still, probably less than $5 million or something like that. But
the Paranormal Activity movies?
No, the Saw movies. Okay. Paranormal Activity is. I'd be shocked. To be fair, I haven't seen anyone past the first one.
I was going to say, I've only seen one of them, I think.
But, I mean, I'd be shocked if they shot those over, like, $1 million or $2 million. But,
I don't know. I'm sure they do.
I think the first one was shot, at, like, no money whatsoever, pretty much.
No, but the more recent ones, though, have been, like, huge, like, Hollywood kind of movies, have they not?
It's still, there was no big actors, no big directors. It's still a very self-contained story and again, I haven't seen these, so again, we're making assumptions.
Yeah.
But I assume it's still in like one location. I don't know.
Well, Paranormal Activity 4 was $4 million.
So I'm going to guess that was probably the most expensive one.
And that was the most recent one. But there's another one coming out this year. Paranormal Activity, the Marked Ones. $5 million.
Okay.
You're totally right.
Yeah. Sorry, say that again?
You are completely right.
Adrian says that way too much. It's great.
Yeah, it's... Look, I think you're getting used to it.
Yeah. All right, well, Adrian, I think we can finish this beer after the podcast is kind of...
We can probably
stop recording, because there's still a little bit left.
Yeah.
We purged our beer.
Yeah. We go through the bad stuff? Not really.
Not bad. It was a decent lineup. Bad stuff.
It was good.
Stuff we had to drink.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't probably have to drink the Siamese Twin, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah, if we did our research a little better.
Yeah, if we read the fucking can.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the pretty pictures.
Yeah.
It was good, though. I liked it. It was nice.
Yeah.
And the black part was good, too. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting it to be that good. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't blind, but mind-blowing.
But it was a good start.
It was better than I expected.
It was a good start to the Purge.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Adrian, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Adrian Trimble on Twitter and Instagram, and also at the PubChat account, at PubChat Podcast.
And our website?
Yeah, pubch.at.
You can find me on Twitter at Senquist, and at Senquist.com as well, where I post... Sporadically, not Adrian level sporadically, but
I'm done. I'm over it. I'm already admitted. I'm done.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for listening to this Purge episode of Pub Chat, and we hope you tune into our regular scheduled episodes that are less Purge-like. We're not very good at this, okay? Good night, everybody.